Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I'm joined by Professor David Merriman from the Fiscal Futures Project, which is part of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. David, thank you as always for joining me.
Thanks. It's really nice to be here.
And you co-authored the latest Fiscal Futures Project report with our good friend Richard Dye. Dick Dye, retired now. And what a way to go out with this report, I have to tell you. You know, we all know we're in a sad shape. But, you know, when you entitle a report, first you have to stop the digging. There's no sign that it's stopping.
Right. And that's really what motivated us to do this now, was to stress the urgency of it and also try and make the point to people that we have to stop digging. This isn't going to be solved at one time. It's going to take sustained effort to do it over a long period of time, and a combination of things and a lot of sacrifice on all sides. The people who want higher taxes, you know, think that the solution is higher taxes. Yes, we're going to need those. But unfortunately, we're also going to need spending cuts, you know, or certainly restraint in terms of spending. And it's going to be painful.
Well, let's just quickly highlight the fact that in the report, your study finds a deficit of approximately $13 billion for fiscal year 2017. That's in the next fiscal year.
Right. The year we're in the middle of right now, we've gone half of 2017. And we think, given sort of the current trends, that's what's going to happen, a $13 billion deficit, which is on total spending of about $76 billion. So, you know, it's way out of whack.
13 of 76.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, we can't, you know, it's
that
not,
was David laughing as I rolled my eyes there, yes.
I mean, it's not reasonable to believe you could do that much cutting, you know, even if you wanted to, you know, there isn't that much waste, fraud, and abuse. And even if you were really willing to make some hard cuts, you can't do that in one year, right? This is going to take something where we have to phase it in. And even if we were to start putting in some revenue increases, some tax increases, the money's not going to come in that fast. It's going to take time.
And as you point out, and we'll get this a little further, but there could be some deleterious effects on the economic climate with any kind of a tax increase.
Right. Well, we think there's deleterious effects from the inaction, but there also could be deleterious effects from any action, from increasing taxes or from cutting spending. Both of those things can be very costly. So you have to do it carefully. So we've looked at a variety of mechanisms. And the first thing we looked at was just cutting spending. And what we looked at was cutting the rate of growth of spending by 2% below the rate that we project, the sort of historical rates of growth in spending. And even if we did that and we kept it up for about a decade, which would make spending about 20% below what it would have been in the absence of these cuts, we've still only closed something like a third to half of the deficit. So spending cuts alone, even sustained spending cuts for a long time, aren't going to be enough. If we look at tax increases, we looked at a variety of tax increases, from increasing the personal and corporate income tax. It's currently 3.75% to 4.75%. That in itself is going to be nowhere near enough. It's going to help. We looked at expanding the tax base, the income tax base, the tax retirement income. Again, we get some funds from that, but not enough. We looked at increasing the sales tax base to tax some services. Right now, we tax most goods transactions, but not services. Even if we do all of those things together, the spending cuts, the income tax increases, changing the income tax base, changing the sales tax base, that's not quite enough. We'd also need to get a little bit of economic growth, which we might. You just heard the previous guest in here talking about how the inaction is, you know, hampering economic growth. If we did all of that and we can manage to sustain it for a decade, we think we might get back to budget balance. But it's a very tall order. It's a very tall order when we can't get political consensus really on even much more minor kinds of changes.
Right. And, you know, not calculated into this is, you know, where goest pensions? I mean, you're making the assumption of where we are now as far as pensions.
Right. So for pensions, there's a schedule for the pension payments that'll be made. If we stick to that schedule, the actuaries tell us that if we stick to that schedule until about 2045, the pensions will be 90% funded, which is doable. We're hoping the actuaries have got the numbers right, and we don't know what's going to happen in the stock market, et cetera. But, you know, these figures that we're talking about are pretty optimistic. That difficult picture that I told you is actually we're making some optimistic assumptions there. But, you know, we've dug this big hole for ourselves, so it's going to take a while to get out, and there's going to be some pain.
And long-term, long-sustained pain.
Long-sustained pain. And the way I think we're going to be able to, you know, get this sustained effort is kind of to try and build some trust, both among the different political parties, but also in the general populace that, look, we have to do this. We've looked at it seriously. We know it's going to be painful, but over a period of time, we can get there. So we've tried to look at some mechanisms that might be used.
Don't jump ahead just yet. Okay. I want to come back to that. But we're speaking to Professor David Merriman from the Fiscal Futures Project at the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
At the Waffle House on Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 pork chops grilled, 4 eggs of fried,
3 sausage patties, 2 waffles baking,
and a bowl of delicious hot grits. At the Waffle House on Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 different omelets, 5 pork chops grilled,
4 eggs of fry, and 3 sausage patties, 2 waffles baking,
and a bowl of delicious hot grits.
That's some more of our weird Christmas music this morning. That's from At the Waffle House on Christmas from the 2001 CD. So a little disco, a little Waffle House. What better way to get your Sunday morning started? We're speaking with David Merriman. He's a professor at the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois, co-author of the Fiscal Futures Project report on the increasingly deep hole that Illinois is digging itself into due to its lack of a budget. We've got backlog of bills, $10 billion. We talked about pensions. You also add the issue of health care, too, which is a significant factor.
Right.
A legacy cost, $174 billion. Everybody says you can't do it all in one day. You were saying about we're in need for a lengthy period. It's not going to be pretty, but if you hit the target, there can be light at the end of the tunnel. It's just how do you hit that target? And obviously the propensity of politicians is if there's tax money or there's money to find a way to spend it. And that's a major fear.
Right. I mean, that's the political logic. It's a hard vote to have to vote to raise taxes on your constituents.
Without having something to show for it.
Without having something to show for it. And unfortunately, we're in the position where we can't do that. If we bring in new revenue, we can't have new spending because we're already behind. What we've got to do is pay off some of the old bills and get enough revenue to pay for the spending that we're already doing.
Because we're at an unsustainable level. And right. Even in your models where you talk about cuts of anticipated spending, I mean, we are under, you know, various rules that spending is there's a natural increase in spending in certain programs and mostly in expensive programs.
Right. Well, some of the spending, for instance, the programmed pension spending, there's a ramp that, you know, raises pension spending over time. You know, there's certain expenses for health care, and we've had, in particular, Medicaid, so we've had some of those costs go up. K-12 education, I mean, I think there's a general consensus that the state needs to contribute at least as much, if not more, than it is now to local governments. So there's a number of areas where we really can't cut. I mean, one of the things that passed in November was a constitutional amendment which says the transportation revenue has to go to transportation. So that's also cut our ability.
Or taken off the table, basically, for filling some of the holes.
Right, right. So, you know, we've constrained ourselves in lots of ways, and we've programmed that into the model. And that's one of the reasons why there's limits to what we can do with spending cuts.
So how can we get on this diet and follow the diet without somebody deciding, oh, well, here's some money here. Let's try this.
Right. Well, I mean, I think what we need to do is build in some mechanisms that assure people who, you know, are going to reluctantly go along with tax increases or reluctantly go along with spending increases, that it's really going to help to solve the problem. And so in other places, the U.S. Congress at the federal level has been trying to build in these mechanisms. They've put in some kind of rules, and we call them triggers. So you set some kind of target that says if you don't meet some level of, for instance, reducing the deficit, some budget balance target, then there's automatic cuts that go into effect or automatic tax increases. That kind of gives everyone assurance that you're serious about this, and those, you know, since they want to avoid, you know, the automatic kind of
triggers,
you know, you hope that that pushes them towards compromise.
Because if those triggers click in, it's politically unpleasant.
It's going to be unpleasant. So. You know, exactly what the triggers would be in Illinois, that's something for the legislature to talk about. But I think we're going to need some kind of mechanism like that. We should be talking about mechanisms like that so that everybody sort of knows it's a sustained period. And I think that would do a lot to increase, you know, public confidence that we're in it for the long haul and small businesses.
And that new revenues are going to be used to pay off old debts.
Right.
Not
right.
For new programs.
Right.
Not for expanded government.
Right. Right. Because, I think at this point we just don't have the money to do that. Not necessarily that expanded government is a bad thing, but we're not there. We don't have the money to do it.
One of the things that you looked at as far as these enforcement mechanisms dealt with bond covenants. Can you just quickly?
So this is an idea that has not been tried, but I think really could make some sense to talk about. So the state of Illinois is going to have to do some bonding, probably even to pay off unpaid bills. Now we have $13 billion, or we will by the end of the fiscal year, probably have $13 billion of unpaid bills. You know, these are owed to vendors. They're owed to nonprofits all over the state. How are we going to pay those off? We're probably going to have to borrow money. So one possibility is when you sell those bonds to have a covenant that says, okay, the bonds can be called, which means the states would have to pay them off more quickly if they don't reach some kind of certain trigger. So, for instance, it could be if the state falls out of budget balance by some measure, those bonds would be called and the states would have to make immediate payments. This idea has been proposed by Richard Ravitch, who's the former lieutenant governor in New York. And that would be, you know, it's such a harsh result if the bonds were called that it might help give some discipline to the fiscal process.
And kind of put the political fear of God in some folks.
Right. And also give the politicians some cover to say, look, you know, I would love to fund your program, or I would love to agree to this tax cut, but I can't do it because if I do it, there's going to be the bond covenant's going to click in, and suddenly I'm going to have to this huge bill, and I have no way to pay it.
And yeah, and the earth opens up and swallows all of us.
Right.
Professor David Merriman from the Fiscal Futures Project and the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois, as always, thank you so much for joining
thanks.
Me this morning.
It's good to be here, and thanks for what you do, Rick, in informing the public about these issues. I appreciate it.
We'll be back with more right after this.